You're listening to the APSE Podcast, the Association of People Supporting Employment First, with your host, Chris Davies. Today's podcast is brought to you by Reach for Resources, a nonprofit providing individualized, competitive employment services for people with disabilities. We believe our community is a better place when it is inclusive and everyone, regardless of ability, has the chance to be successful. Learn more at reachforresources.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Minnesota APSE Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Here we are for episode 2, season 5, with the one and only Sophie Iverson. So great to have you with us today, Sophie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to getting to know Sophie better here. We've been chit-chatting a little bit here, and she's pretty much given us a firm maybe yes that Creighton will win the national championship this year in college basketball. So we're all feeling pretty good about that, me especially. But, you know, I always like to say, if you've never watched this podcast before, welcome. We're so glad that you found us. The Minnesota APSE Podcast is, as I mentioned from the beginning, has been going on for 5 years. And Minnesota APSE is part of a national organization called APSE, Association for People Supporting Employment First. And we're truly the only national organization that promotes integrated competitive employment for everyone. We believe that working is certainly the path to out of poverty and isolation. And we believe that anybody who wants to work can work. And so we have guests come on to our podcast that, you know, have the opportunity and have given us the grace, you know, graciousness of their presence to tell us their stories. And we just never know what's going to come up, do we, Sophie?
No.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It could go all sorts of directions today. It is the last day of February, after all. It's not Groundhog's Day. That's not what I meant to say. It's not Leap Day. That's another year. But March is literally 12 hours away or so. So we're excited about that. So let's get into it. You know, first thing we always like to do, as I think Sophie remembers, she's watched several of our podcasts, is we like to give a visual description of ourselves. So I'll go first. I'm a white male. I have a red beard. I'm bald and proud. I'm wearing a three-quarter zip today, and it's kind of, I don't know, what color would you say this is? It's honestly kind of an odd color, isn't it? Kind of turquoisey?
Turquoise, yeah.
Yeah, turquoise. Okay, so Sophie has confirmed that I'm wearing a turquoise three-quarter zip and blue jeans.
I'm Sophie. I'm a white woman. I have long brown hair about to my shoulders, and right now it's kind of part of the hair is up in a ponytail. I have also a three-quarter zip with two pockets, kind of lower, and it's, I don't know, tan, grayish tan, and black leggings. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we did not plan this, did we? Our three-quarter zip matching today, you know, but we're very excited about it, as you can see. All right, so let's dive into it, shall we? All right. So, you know, for our audience out there, tell us, you know, more about yourself, your background, you know, anything you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a open book. I can start. I mean, like I said, my name's Sophie. I currently reside in employment at the Hub, Disability Hub Minnesota, as an options counselor. I'm the person working on the phones, emailing, chatting. The Disability Hub is a information and referral center, so we provide resources and information for people with disabilities or their supporters looking for resources or information really about anything regarding being someone with a disability in Minnesota. On top of that, I also work with the ARC Minnesota, the Metro Regional Quality Council, as an associate. And our council is made up of people with disabilities, advocates, parents, providers, and we just kind of work towards creating improvements and helping advocate for the needs for people with disabilities. I do a lot of different things. I always say I'm like jack of all trades because I also own my own advocacy business on the side.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I do a lot of stuff, basically, is what I'll say.
Yes. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about how you, you know, what were some of the seeds that were sown in your youth, if you will, and that kind of got you so involved in so many things like this in terms of advocating for people with disabilities?
100%. So growing up, I had a lot of medical complications. I was in the hospital from birth for 168 days in the NICU, and that's neonatal intensive care unit. Mm-hmm. And as a baby, and I had a lot of surgeries with different medical complications, a lot of internal organ stuff, and one of the major ones was dealing with limited lung capacity. I have 40% lung capacity. Basically, I have both my lungs, but one of them is fully functioning and the other one not so much.
Okay.
I always say I have complex asthma because it's complex and you can never really pinpoint it.
Sure.
So, that kind of got me first involved in being someone with a disability.
Okay.
And then as I grew up, I really got involved in the Americans with Disabilities Act. And during high school, which now it's crazy looking back, being like, I was a high schooler thinking this, but I wanted to integrate the Americans with Disabilities Act into the Constitution, a U.S. Constitution.
Right, right.
And so it was like big ideas. I want to do this thing. And so in high school, we had a senior thesis, like a paper that we wrote. So I did that. And that kind of launched my trajectory into having a lot of different disability advocacy internships and mm-hmm. now kind of landing where I'm at currently.
Wow. That is, it feels like where you are today is exactly where you were meant to be, and you knew that at a young age. Are you from Minnesota? Did you grow up here in Minnesota?
Born and raised in Northeast Minneapolis.
Northeast Minneapolis.
All my life.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, that's a lovely area. I love Northeast Minneapolis. A lot of character, to it. So that's for sure. Well, that's amazing. 168 days. That's a serious amount of time.
Beyond that, I've had 13 surgeries to date. So just tack on more hospital days to that.
Yeah. Well, you certainly seem to be somebody that, takes adversity head on. Yeah. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Well, very good. So, you spoke to it a little bit, but, there's sort of this concept, if you will, and maybe if concept's the wrong word, please let me know, of invisible disability. We're all human. We're all managing ourselves. And with that comes various degree of challenges of being human. But tell us, a little bit about, for you, your experience as a person with a quote-unquote invisible disability.
Yeah, and I didn't really come to this up until really like high school, because before that I had, the PCAs and caretakers and a lot of people helping take care of me at home, and I've done all the therapies that you can imagine. And so I was really ingrained into this idea of safety and protecting oneself, not because of danger necessarily from something else, but like just, I've had complex medical stuff and I don't really want to be back in the hospital consistently.
Sure.
So I took on this at a very young age, kind of thinking five steps ahead. Mm-hmm. And that throughout high school, having an IEP and having educational support, I kind of became really hyper aware of myself, because I would have a lot of people, a lot of students, and then growing up, employers assume things. One of the primary characteristics of myself is my voice. It's fairly quiet because of my lung capacity and other things. And a lot of employers or even just in the public would say, you know, before even asking anything, do you need water? Or you sound sick. Are you okay? Or something like that. And I'm like, I have to advocate for myself. I have to say, no, I'm good. It's just how I am. And that's how it is.
Sure.
And so that has transcended. Additionally, I can't walk very far. I can't do many steps. I'm not, you know, anyone that goes to the gym and marathon runs. It's like envy of those people. But
me too.
Yeah. But I can't do that. So I've had a lot of times where friends or colleagues or something is like, hey, let's go on like a retreat or something, you know, and do a hike in the woods or a walk in the woods or some wild thing. You think about it. And I can't do that. So I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. And they're like, well, you look fine.
Mm-hmm.
You walked from here to the door. Like, what's wrong? And I'm like, no, I can't. No, I'm going to pass out if I keep walking. And one of my truly, kind of transformative moments of realizing this was I got a job. One of my prior jobs to the hub was a lobbyist at the Capitol.
Okay.
I'm not going to name the place for privacy, but it was a really moving moment because requiring to be 5 days a week at the Capitol for months on end,
mm-hmm.
and having to navigate the tunnels, if anyone has ever navigated
tunnels. I've been in those tunnels.
It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really advocate for myself. And I was like, hey, I need accommodations. Mm-hmm. I've done a job very similar to this where it was fully remote because of COVID.
Right.
And they were like, well, that's not going to work because you got to be in person with the legislators. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being I had to voluntarily leave because they weren't meeting my accommodations because of the fact my invisible disability didn't seem, you know, physical enough to impact my needs. Yeah.
Well, that I'm not going to lie, that kind of makes me want to ask a lot of questions that maybe we shouldn't dive into right now. But
ask away.
It feels like that you weren't very listened to in that situation.
No.
Yeah.
No. Not very much.
So, what would you say to, you know, sort of the average person out there? Any advice maybe on just something to think about in terms of, you know, the fact that anybody they may meet could have an invisible disability and maybe how to, be respectful of that, or I don't know. That's really not the word I'm looking for, but do you have any advice about that? Yeah, looks like you do.
Yeah, I mean, I do. The number one thing that I tell people all the time in the advocacy space is to not assume, to not assume or put, you know, preconceived notions on myself or even anyone else that you meet or interact with. Because you never know where they came from. You never know what their background is or what their experiences are or how they came to be to where they are right now. And I really learned this, like, at my job at the Hub. I talk to hundreds of people a day. And, you know, you're on the phone or via chat. You're never in person with them. Mm-hmm. And so you really don't know where they're coming from.
Right.
And so that's really ingrained in myself to share with people, to not assume, and to always have, you know, good intention that person is coming to you with good intention. And one caller one day shared with me a quote, and I have it written on my desk now, is discover kindness before kindness discovers you.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, that just like really sat with me because there's so much need in this, in the space, especially right now, to just be kind to each other,
mm-hmm.
and not assume, and have good intentions shared. Cause the only people we have is the people around us right now.
Sure.
And so that's really what I'd say to that.
Yeah. That's, wow. I want to go back to that quote you said, discover kindness before kindness discovers you. Is what I'm taking from that, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, is don't wait for kindness. Put kindness out to the world. Expect it to come find you. Do you have a similar take on that, or what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean that was sort of my take. I mean, it's basically just sharing that, you know, kindness starts with you, mm-hmm. Kind of mentality, yeah. And that we can't wait for good things to happen all the time, or we can't wait for the one moment in the dream that you had. You have to go get it. And I'm a pretty go-getter person.
Sure. Yeah, I'm getting that.
If that hasn't been spread enough. But yeah, I'm pretty, and I've been taught that at a very young age, you know, like people assuming you can't do something or can do something because you look perfectly normal, whatever. I say there's no normal. Like, we're all weird. Like, don't.
Oh, yeah.
Just take normal out of the picture.
I'll raise my hand.
Yeah, like the guy behind the camera is raising his hand.
I forgot to mention we have a studio audience today, yeah. And an executive producer. Joanne is here with us.
Joanne is my coordinator for the MRQC Metro Regional Quality Council. Yeah. She's camera shy, but she'll produce all she wants, so that's
okay.
Great.
Well, just make sure to applaud when the applaud sign comes on.
Yeah, there you Joanne. Go. Yeah. But yeah, the invisible disabilities, it's very, and a lot of people, like I always say, you know, anyone can be disabled at any time. Like,
yes,
you can get in a car crash tomorrow and that's it. So, and it can end up, you know, you only have brain trauma.
Right.
You only have one broken leg that repairs itself, but you have lasting impact. Yeah. So disabilities are very vast. It's one of the largest minorities in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's really important just not to assume.
Yeah. And it's one that anyone can join at any time.
Exactly.
Not just something that someone might have when they're born.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's all very powerful stuff. Thank you. Tell us a little bit more about, you mentioned that you are an options coordinator or options counselor.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
No, you're good.
And, tell us the difference between, say, an options counselor and a benefits coordinator and what are some of your goals, related to benefits coordination?
Yeah. So options I'll just say it's options counselor and excuse me, work and benefits counselor. I don't know, terminology is weird.
You're telling me.
But I can share a little bit. I mean, I shared a little. Options counselor basically is the people you call on the phone at the Hub, Minnesota. And we call it the Hub, but Disability Hub. Mm-hmm. And you can call, chat, or even email us really any questions related to being a person with a disability, you know, navigating healthcare, because that's always confusing, and navigating getting employment or getting housing or you name it, we can probably help you. Benefits counselor or work in benefits folks, those are people more trained to help you with working and your benefits. And benefits can be Social Security, it can be, you know, retirement, it can be disability pay, whatever that is, but primarily Social Security. And there's often a misconception that people can't work if they're on benefits. Mm-hmm. That's a conception we hear all the time.
Sure. As do we.
Yeah, and you know, that's why we have folks like you guys at Composia and other places, including the Hub, to share that you can work, and in fact, in most cases, it's better off to work and receive benefits because you'll get more in the long run and be more successful. And also, you know, you'll build your community. And I think working, we always think of working like, you know, the working decade and industrial period, you know, get down and dirty. And that's not the case at all. I mean, I work from home. I work remotely, and I do a lot of things. And I'm, you know, there's people like selling crafts on the internet, and they've made millions.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of it, basically all of this to say anything is possible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting the way I think we work today, or maybe it's just because of COVID, I'm more aware of it, and now I've experienced it myself. It probably always existed that people were doing things. Well, first of all, I know there's always more than one way to do things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as being involved in customized employment as long as I have been, that was always our philosophy, that there's, you know, there is something for everyone, and everything doesn't have to fit into a box, if you will. But I think when COVID happened, and I've said this before, never to minimize the effect that it had on the world and on real lives. I mean, I lost a loved one myself due to the pandemic, and but it completely changed the way we think about how we do our jobs. I mean, just with my day job at Kaposia, we learned that we could do things a totally different way, and so it's good to hear you talk about it, because it's very true that you know, it's really about discovering your personal genius, as we like to help people do, you know, at Kaposia, but and many people at APSI, but yeah, there's a lot of different ways to get to the finish line, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, and I always, you know, I almost lost my train of thought, but
I do it all the time, so it's okay.
You know, it's my job prior to the one I have now wasn't remote. It was exhausting, to say the least.
Right,
and I knew it wasn't for me. At least the work specifically that I was doing. And I sat a long time. I mean, when I left my old job, it was almost from May until October. So that's like, 4 months almost, not having a job. Mm-hmm. And that sucked, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I know that, for one, I'm not the only one that has been in that situation before. And also there's a lot of people that give up. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, all right, I've done XYZ number of jobs. Nothing's working for me. I'm just going to like sit here, mm-hmm. hope for the best, basically. And
right.
I do a lot of my advocacy work, both personally and professionally, centered around educating folks on what they can do. The whole concept of that we do at the Disability Hub is a lot around person-centeredness mm-hmm. and person-centered training, which is just what's important for you and what's important to you. And a lot of that work I implement into my personal advocacy and sharing with people, you know, you can do something. You just have to like find your niche, find what mm-hmm. what you think you're good at. And I've had plenty of people that I've talked to don't know what they want to do, and all of a sudden, you know, they're creating their own podcast or writing their own magazine or you name it, whatever. And you're like, wow, you figured out mm-hmm. what you want to do and what you feel good doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really powerful statement. What you feel good doing, you know,
right.
it when you're doing it. You know, like this is one of the things I know I love doing is sitting down with people like yourselves and getting to know you and your perspective. And, I love being in front of a microphone. It's a little embarrassing, but it's true. Finding out your niche. I love that. Tell us more about specifically the work you're doing with Metro Regional Quality Council.
Yeah. Well, Metro Regional Quality Council, or we call it MRQC because it's too long of words.
Yes.
So MRQC is kind of an arm of the ARC Minnesota. We operate through a contract type thing, and there's different regional quality councils around the state. So there's West Central, there's Region 10, which is the other side, and then there's like northern parts of Minnesota. Joanne probably could name them better. But MRQC is based in the Twin Cities and kind of the surrounding a little bit. So we do Scott County, Washington County, Hennepin County. And then we always invite other folks, obviously, from any of the metro counties to join. And then we have, so we have parents, we have folks with disabilities, and then we also have county representatives that join in their time and dedicate. We meet once a month on third Friday, Joanne. Second Friday. She's holding up a two.
Second Friday.
From 9 to 11.
Which is not today.
No, not today. Our next one is March 14th.
Okay, that would make sense.
I want to say. So we meet and we have different things that we work on. And we decide that as a council.
Okay.
So the council decides what's important to them. And so we have three things that we've been, we have three work groups. Or projects. We have housing, transportation, and environment, and employment as it stands. And, recently with the housing work group, last year we did these videos, housing videos, focused on like people sharing their experience with getting housing.
Okay.
And the challenges around that. Mm-hmm. That's on YouTube and anyone can go find that. And then for employment, right now we had folks, the last 6 months, employment providers and service providers. We had Composia as well, come and present. Composia, I believe, was in December.
Very good.
Dana presented
on
the different stuff that you guys do for people with, disabilities looking for employment. Mm-hmm. And, they're all like, you know, woohoo back there.
Oh, I wish you guys could see the
audience. I know, the
audience
is wonderful.
It's wild.
I know, it's great. Never been behind so many people.
Or, I know.
We had different providers, employment services providers come and present. So we've had, state services for the blind. Mm-hmm. We've had deaf, blind, and hard of hearing. We've had, there's too many.
Sure.
A lot of people,
sure.
Basically.
Is the meeting that happens on the second Friday of the month, is it open to anyone?
Can anyone come? Yeah, anyone can come. You can email Joanne or myself or the Regional Quality Council and really just ask, you know, can I have the link? And we meet virtually on Zoom or on – it's going to be on Teams starting in March.
All right, so the meeting's virtually. So it's very accessible.
Yeah, it's very accessible. Yes. Yeah, it's really nice. I mean – I work from home, so I'm not going to go anywhere. Joanne's laughing back there. It's really accessible, and really we just have a space to collectively work on these things that we want to improve for people with disabilities.
Sure. Wonderful.
Moving forward, you know, right now, at least for employment, because we're on a employment podcast, we've been working on providing advocacy for different really like improving job coaches and that side of things, because a lot of people want to be with a job coach or get those services, but right now there's a really big shortage of job coaches and like voc rehab is under the radar for a lot of stuff right now. And so we're really working on advocating for, is there a way that we can have people that have already been trained or already have employment become job coaches and then mentor those people? Or have people from the county who...
Kind of like a peer support for mental health.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But in employment.
Yeah, so, or, you know, have people from the county who only do one job, like case management or, you know, shuffling around papers or answering the phone, can they be trained as an additional like mentor? So that's kind of what we're working on right now in our employment work group.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And I'll let you know, I did Google MRQC this morning, and so I'll let everybody know, put MRQC Minnesota in there.
There you go.
I first just put MRQC and I got some kind of Michigan medical something or other. I don't know. I didn't look at it that closely, but so be sure to put Minnesota in there and you'll find it. And I saw you on there.
I'm probably
Nessa
on there.
Joanne. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you can read about our different work groups and what we do, and you can, I think we can even put the meeting minutes so you can see what we talked about in the past. So.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Wonderful. Thank you. So, I would love to hear about. You mentioned in the beginning that you have your own advocacy business. If I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I do.
Tell us about that.
Well, this happened when I was unemployed.
Okay.
As every outside the box thinker, I was really like still kind of. My brain was still having that adrenaline rush of being during session, and because the I think it was 2023-2024 session or something, which was a big one for people with disabilities, and so
very big.
Yeah, so I was like full adrenaline rush from that, and leaving my job, and really just trying to figure out what was going on. And one of my prior internships was with the Minnesota Council on Disability, which is the state agency for people with disabilities. And I was their public policy intern. So I'd been doing policy for probably 3 years at that point. And I was kind of tired. I was like, I love doing it, but it's a lot of work.
It's exhausting.
And so I really wanted to switch gears, and my love is talking to other people with stories and talk, and because I have my own story that I share all the time, but I really like listening to other people's stories and what they have gone through or what they're looking for in life or whatever it may be. And I was really thinking about it, and I just need to do my own business.
Okay.
Because my mom is a business owner. She's been a business owner since 2008.
Oh, wow.
She has a branding agency here in Minneapolis.
Very cool.
Very successful.
Is it okay to ask what it's called?
Yeah. So it's called Five. And the first letter is the number five. So number five, IVE.
Oh, I like that.
LLC. Mm-hmm. She's basically a very human-centered. Yeah. A human-centered approach to strategic branding and advertising. She probably is, you know, she always likes when I talk about her because she talks about me all the time.
Of course. So. Of course. What brander wouldn't?
Exactly.
Right?
So I
don't know if that's the right terminology.
Yeah, you can look her
probably
up.
Not.
It's 5 and then MPLS.com. So. Okay. That's, you know, if you ever want to look into that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and she's an immigrant. She came from Bulgaria.
Okay.
In 1995, so I'm part Bulgarian. I do speak it. I'm not going to speak it here. But
it'd be great if you did.
Yeah. But she was ultimately, I mean, it's cliche, but she's my inspiration. Mm-hmm. She's always the one that inspires me to just reach for whatever I can and do whatever I can. And you know, she was doing school and trying to start a business and trying to do all this stuff while I was in the hospital. And even after that, you know, I had a feeding tube for 16 years, which is a long time.
That's a long time.
And she was there for every single minute of it. So she's really the inspiration of this all this. And she was like, you know, just you need to do your own business. You need to start your own business because you have all these wonderful ideas and all these like aspirations, and you need to put it somewhere and really grow. So I started my business in I think October of 2024.
Okay.
It's called Access to Advocacy.
Access to Advocacy.
So Access and then number two, Advocacy.
Okay, so you used a little bit of your mom's
not intentionally,
inspiration there.
But yeah.
Okay, Access to Advocacy.
Yep, LLC. It's LLC.
The number
and,
two.
And so really what it is I've taken all of the things that I've done and putting it in a personal way.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of mentorship. I do a lot of mentoring about telling your story. Utilizing my skills as a lobbyist, I do a lot of how to tell your stories to legislators and how to advocate for during legislative session.
Sure.
Yesterday, I actually spoke with one of the groups I mentor they're preparing to go to the Day on the Hill.
Okay.
Sure. On March 25th. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of was prepping them for their one-page speeches. I also do accessibility in, just kind of creative problem solving, mm-hmm. accessibility. Basically, I had a client who had a building that wasn't accessible and she wanted to learn how to make it more accessible.
Okay.
So we kind of worked through some ideas there. And then I also have a certification in, I have a lot of certifications. I have a certification in, consumer directed community supports, support okay. planning.
Yes.
So I also yes. do support planning. Mm-hmm. I have a client that I help that with. And support planners, mm-hmm. if anyone is on a waiver, mm-hmm. or CDCS is what we call it, you can utilize a support planner
yes.
who can help you create your support plan.
Sorry to stop you, but I just wanted to make sure I'm clear. So yeah. you need to be on a CDCS or any type of waiver to have a support planner.
So you can have – folks that are on a waiver can choose to do CDCS. And that's yes. a type of mm-hmm. thing that you can basically choose what kind of services you mm-hmm. would like.
Which is consumer-directed community supports. Yeah,
exactly. Right? Yeah. Okay. Based on your assessment that mm-hmm. you okay. get from the county. Mm-hmm. They kind of are like, oh, you get X number of PCA or – you can right. utilize this, and then they give you a budget. They mm-hmm. give you a really big amount of money, basically.
Yeah.
and a lot of folks get overwhelmed because it's a lot of money to yeah. deal with, and you're like, what do I do? And so support planners are people that you mm-hmm. can mm-hmm. call upon to come help create a support plan, which outlines the services you want to mm-hmm. utilize and how much money you're going to allocate mm-hmm. to all of those services. And using a person-centered approach. So sure. the support planner is like, what do you want to do? And then they help you write it out.
Sure.
And that's what I do.
Very
for
good.
For one part of
Very good.
For the other part of my business. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have enough hands for how many pots you've got going? There's a lot.
The one-woman game.
I love it.
It's one-person
so
job.
So going back to your advocacy.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you have a website. Am I right?
I do,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. So is it? What's your website?
AccessToAdvocacyLLC.com.
So yeah, access to
number two
advocacy
LLC.com. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And do people pay you privately, or are you able to accept waiver funding, or how does that work?
Yeah. So if you do CDCS or the support planning method, mm-hmm. a lot of the times, at least for example, the client I have right now, we work with a financial management service,
okay.
and they are the ones who essentially physically manage the budget, and I invoice them, so I give them a bill of whatever I've done in the last few weeks.
Okay.
And they pay me.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you do the other things mm-hmm. like mentorship or whatever, sure. you can do private pay. Mm-hmm. I've done it where one of my clients, I invoiced them and they Venmo'd me.
Okay.
So really accessible.
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. Are you, I'm just curious, really.
Of course.
Are you licensed by the state of Minnesota?
I am.
Okay, so
yeah,
so you
as
have,
a support planner,
is it like 245D
no.
things? You okay?
So as a support planner, as CDCS support yeah. planner, you can do training
okay.
through the DHS website,
okay,
and get a certification
sure.
on there.
Sure, very cool.
In addition to this, separate from DHS, I also have a ADA coordinator certification
okay.
from I think University of Missouri.
Oh.
But
was it online?
Yeah.
Is that what?
So that one.
I was going to say, I bet if you were in Missouri, you wouldn't say it that way. Like,
that one's.
I think.
So it's online. However, some of it, especially after COVID, unfortunately, requires you to do some in person.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. every year there's an ADA conference put on by it's called Great Lakes ADA. Mm-hmm. And they have, you can go there as a, I mean, anyone can really go there. It costs a bit of money, but you can look it up. And you can do ADA-related classes. And so during COVID, luckily, it was all virtual. So I was able to do a lot of it virtually.
Sure.
And yeah. I have to renew it every 3 years, I think. So Yeah, but that allows you to be an ADA coordinator, so someone who really knows the Americans with Disabilities Act, kind of inside and out, and can help coordinate, often like in places of employment, making sure their business is in compliance with ADA standards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of writing?
Yeah. I actually, in my younger years, I used to be a poet. Well, still am, I guess. So I wrote a lot of poetry. I also wrote books that have never been published.
Okay. That's why I asked. I was wondering if you had any ambitions to write a book.
I have ambitions and am very encouraged from a lot of people in my family to write a book on myself. I hate talking about myself, but
it's not coming across here. You're doing.
I appreciate
this. I'm really enjoying this interview.
Of course, but I, this year in December, so 2025, will be 10 years since I've gone without my feeding tube, or my some people call it G tube, feeding tube, whatever.
Right, yeah.
And I had a feeding tube since birth until 16. I didn't realize it was going to be 10 years until my mom told me. And I was like, oh, I got to do something to commemorate this. So I will hopefully be working towards writing some stuff because my mom also has a ton of stories that I need to capture, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I think it's wonderful. And, I mean, this is a complete side thing. But, you know, I was at big family funeral a couple of weeks ago, and I have an Uncle Petey who's just a great storyteller.
Awesome.
And I'm like, we need to record these stories, you know? So
exactly.
That's exciting. And, you know, keep us posted on that here at APC Nation, you know, how that's coming along.
Yeah.
Did you know the national conference is in Washington, D.C. this year?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's
there's
cool.
going to be a... I think the day before the actual conference, you know, kicks off in large, there's going to be a – I don't know if it's being called the Day at the Hill. What's it being called, Dana?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Day on the Hill.
Yeah, yeah, there at the nation's capital. So
wow.
Has anybody approached you yet about any, mentoring or ideas going into that?
Oh, no, not yet. I've been to D.C.
Sure, I would imagine
many
so.
Many times. Yeah. I've been to D.C. not for not for being on the Hill. That sounds terrifying, to be honest. But I spoke at a conference. I was a keynote speaker. So there's this company or organization called United States of Care.
Okay.
They're in Washington, D.C. and Minneapolis, kind of dual. And they do a lot of focus around healthcare access and just creating more equitable healthcare. And I was invited to be their keynote speaker. So I told my story in front of like the Center for Medicaid director and like a bunch of federal legislators. And I was just, it was flooring, but it was really moving. But I did that probably 2 years ago now in April, and I always look for different things here and there. Mm-hmm. So last year I spoke at MSSA, the Minnesota Social Service.
They're familiar with them. Yep.
Conference, I think.
Yeah, I spoke at that conference years ago.
So I did that virtually, again, telling my story. So I guess a lot of people like to hear my story.
Well, I can see why. You're a great storyteller.
I appreciate it.
You have wonderful energy, and you have a lot of interesting and insightful things to say.
I appreciate it.
That's a good recipe. All right. So we're starting to get towards, you know, sort of the home stretch here.
Yeah.
We always like to, you know, to ask, you mentioned the word normal, but there really isn't a normal, right? But, you know, what changes do you feel still need, you know, are still needed for employment to become more normal, if you will, for people with disabilities?
That's a big question.
Yes, it is.
I mean, and that's a lot of what we're trying to work on at the MRQC as well, is really one of our things that we've been really focusing on is talking to employers and talking to providers who and seeing what support both employers and providers need when helping someone get employment. again, you know, going back to the original conversation, a lot of assumptions are made and a lot of misconceptions are made on what someone's capabilities are in employment. And, you know, people who do, like Composio, who do customized employment are already trained and already kind of familiar with this out-of-box thinking. Mm-hmm. But a lot of employers aren't.
Right.
And that's nothing bad for them. Remember, we do good intentions. Mm-hmm. But we as advocates and people with disabilities and employment providers are often left with the, you know, responsibility basically of teaching these employers that, you know, it's not an assumption world. Mm-hmm. It's not a need to make assumption. You just need to listen.
Sure.
A lot of this goes back to listening and active listening, mm-hmm. and seeing what the person needs, because sure. someone might not be able to do a full cash register. I used to work as a cashier, so I know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe 4 hours in a cash register and then 3 hours stocking or something, because mm-hmm. they need different brain stimulation. There's so many different spaces that someone can be in, even in just one company or one business,
sure.
that a lot of people don't think. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of this, like, one-way street thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. What are your, you know, you strike me as a very hopeful person. What are your hopes and dreams for the future, you know, of employment and, you know, for people with disabilities?
I mean, for people with disabilities, I think the big thing is just nothing's impossible. Mm-hmm. I always was told that with my family, nothing's impossible, you know, just keep doing your best and speak up. And I say that, and I caution that with, you know, not everyone can speak physically. Mm-hmm. But we as humans have plenty of ways to communicate,
sure.
Either through our bodies or emotions or whatever it may be. And so I really say use your voice, as in use your communication skills. And it's nothing wrong with using someone who knows you to communicate for you. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions, or, you know, you have sometimes an employer, you know, you go in with your mm-hmm. support person and the employer just talks to them, not to you,
yeah.
or vice versa, mm-hmm. you know. And I think mm-hmm. that just stepping back and listening and taking mm-hmm. that time to really practice that kindness,
yeah.
and not assume mm-hmm. is really the bottom line that I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. You know, in terms of customized employment, I think the traditional, you know, job coach has really evolved into a consultant. You know, at least that's what we call that person. And because they are there for the business and for the person, acknowledging that this person works for this business, and
yeah.
This person is their employee, and it's about us helping kind of bridge that communication, not be the you know, the overbearing, you know, kind of person that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this is just another side note. For some reason, I'm going on a few of them today. I took my son to the doctor recently,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed it was very noticeable that the doctor spoke to my son, not to me.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't keep, like, you know, wasn't like, you know, asking my son questions and then, you know, waiting to see what I had to say.
Yeah.
It was really focused on my son as
good.
The patient, as the most important person in the room, if you will.
That's good.
So, you know, some of the things you said there really resonated, you know, with that. And I gave the doctor feedback, you know, I said that.
Good.
And I try to be very intentional in my day to day, you know, with that, to you know, have good intention and respect mm-hmm. the person, as a fully human, you know, person.
Yeah. And I think I'll just say also that, like, this idea of good intention is really what I practice a lot, mm-hmm. especially, like, in my business and my advocacy and all of that stuff, because I talk with a lot of folks, and I also talk with a lot of service providers doing support planning. That's what you do, is you help navigate the services for that person. And a lot of the service, sometimes you get people that are, you know, who've had a bad day or something, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I get, even at the Disability Hub, you know, you get people calling you that just start swearing. Uh-huh. And I'm like, it's not me. Mm-hmm. I have to always remember that. Yes. Like, they, you know, you get plenty of people who they've tried to call the county and sat on the county phone for hours, or, you know, you name it, the frustration, and they just want to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. And something unique that I came across, and this is a little tangential, but is that I always have had my voice be like my primary disability and my complexities that I've had to advocate for. Mm-hmm. And this job at the Hub really put a really nice spin on it, because I had a lot of people call me and say, your voice is really calming. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that before the Hub. And mm-hmm. I told that to my mom, and she's like, you have a gift mm-hmm. with your voice. Mm-hmm. And I actually told my husband, I'm like, I should work for a 911 call center. He's like, oh, no. But
just add another one to the list.
But all that to say is that even your disability can come as a strength, and that's something that mm-hmm. not a lot of people realize. And I think in employment, mm-hmm. that's something mm-hmm. we always talk about, strengths and stuff.
Sure.
And so that's something that a lot of people can lean on as well when looking for employment.
Yeah, I love that. You know, in society, it feels like sometimes there's so much pressure about, well, stop doing this, stop doing that. So we focus so much on our, you know, maybe trying to make the things that aren't in our wheelhouse better rather than embellishing our strengths. And
exactly.
I would agree with those comments about your voice. I mean, I know we've only, you know, truly known each other for 45 minutes to an hour here. We certainly met from time to time at conferences, but I get that feeling too with your voice. There's something very powerful about it.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been a lot of fun. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for our audience?
I think my words of wisdom have been said.
Yes.
To be honest.
I would agree.
I appreciate you having me.
I see a bumper sticker.
No bumper sticker. I appreciate you having me here and sharing again myself and my experiences. And I think I've already said everything, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have. You said a lot of really powerful, insightful things. And, you know, I just want to say for anybody out there listening that, you know, has heard, you know, what Sophie's had to say here today. And if you've had the thought, wow, well, maybe Sophie could help me with, you know, X, Y, Z, there's multiple ways to find her.
Yeah.
You can go on the MRQC Minnesota, as I mentioned, and she's there. You can go directly to her website, Access to Advocacy.
LLC.com.
I don't know. I, for some reason, I have trouble
You're
getting
good.
It out. Access number two, Advocacy,
LLC.com. Yeah.
And if they just Googled your name, Sophie Iverson, Advocacy, you think it would come up? So
I would probably come up.
If you don't remember all that, you know, Sophie Iverson.
Yeah.
Advocacy. And I'm going to definitely dive into your, or I'm interested in your mom's business, this Five Live, or Five, I should say, LLC, Minneapolis with the number five.
Of course.
And, of course, last but not least, the Disability Hub. We could find you there. And I'm not wishing anybody needing to make an emergency call anytime in their future,
no.
But you never know, down the road, you
please
might get
no.
Sophie on the other line.
Well, and I'll say I'm the only Sophie there. So if you get me,
that's
me on the phone.
As we were talking before the interview, you helped me recently.
I did.
We did a chat at the Hub. I had a question, and Sophie was very helpful. So I can tell you from a personal testimony, it's worth looking into. So
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you happen to ever listen to Mel Robbins' podcast or read any of her stuff? Yeah. So, my girlfriend Sharon just got me into her. We listened to one of her podcasts on the way down to Omaha, and I've been listening to a couple more. And, but one we listened to, you know, she had a guest on. She always has sort of expert, you know, experts in their field on and picks their brains. But we're really talking about our thoughts, you know, and that our thoughts dictate, you know, what we do, and what we do is who we are, you know. And so, as you probably know, and our audience, if you've watched this before, know, I always like to wheel us back in, you know, with sort of just that final, you know, words of advice. But it's, we say it because it's true. You know, you said it here, Sophie, that, you know, if you believe it, you know, you can achieve it. Absolutely. Thanks for being with us.